Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
And welcome into the Tuesday edition. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Tuesday morning. Robbie and Rex Road presented by Green Ventures Landscaping. Property managers, if you manage it, they maintain it. Visit greenventureslandscaping.com for more information. Joe Rex Road, good morning. How are you? What's going on?
Fine. Not much is going on, really.
That's good.
I don't have a good answer. I'm good.
Good. Ian, yeah. How we doing? What's going on?
Pretty much the same. Last night, you know, pretty chill last night. Couple of games. I missed the early, what was it, North Carolina-Louisville. Turned a few minutes on of Houston and Kansas. But, yeah, I was pretty much sports free last night.
No Pistons Spurs for you?
No. I guess Wemby is just taking the league by storm, huh?
Yeah, he was pretty bad in the first half, and then yeah, he blocks everything. It's really amazing. Like he is like kind of like an incredibly skilled giraffe at times. It's just like How the heck could you possibly get to that ball? Yeah, they're tough, man. The Spurs are tough.
Yeah, they're pretty good. It always amazes. Like there are times I'm watching them and somebody will get a shot over Wemby, and I'm like, "Oh, how'd they do that? They just throw it off the ceiling? That's impressive.
That's
good
what
stuff there.
Yeah, like you have to throw it like insanely, like straight up if you're trying to do a floater. Cade Cunningham had, you know, like he did that, and still he got to it, and it was like, oh my goodness, pretty impressive.
Yeah, it's a little ridiculous, and he's still very young. He's going to be very good as his career goes on. We got a lot going on the show today. The great Pete Weber will be with us at 7:15. We'll get his thoughts on the United States win of the gold medal against Team Canada, get his thoughts on the Predators as they open their season back up coming up on Thursday. So looking forward to that a little bit later in the show. Ben Arthur from Fox Sports NFL will be with us to close out the show coming up at 8:45. So looking forward to that. We got the Rex Rant with Joe Rex Road later in the program as well. Joe, it is NFL Combine Week, and the NFL offseason fully underway. We saw Kyle Pitts get the franchise tag placed on him, or is going to get the franchise tag placed on him, according to multiple people yesterday. I think the tag number for the tight ends this offseason for the franchise tag is right in the neighborhood of $16.3 million. Kyle Pitts, 25 years old. He was second in the league last year among tight ends with 88 catches. And receiving yards at 928, only Trey McBride of the Arizona Cardinals had more. So what do you make of Kyle Pitts being tagged by the Atlanta Falcons, taking another option off the board for everybody else in free agency?
Yeah, I think that makes sense. I think you can see he's talented. He's not what he's supposed to be, but he's talented. He's certainly a guy who can be a problem for people. I mean, he's produced enough that you know, now obviously you're talking about new regime and everything, and you know they don't, you know, obviously there's a little bit of probably wanting to find out exactly what you have in him, you know, with new people in the organization. So I think that I'm not shocked by that. A little bit more, because we haven't talked about Pickens. Have we talked about Pickens being tagged, or that was expected? But that's official now, right?
Yeah, he is going to be tagged. So we know of at least two franchise tags that are now happening in the NFL.
28 mil for Pickens is basically what that's going to be. And the Cowboys are huge taggers. They tagged DeMarcus Lawrence twice, Dak twice, Schultz. They tagged Pollard before, so they loved using that. So I guess you knew they were going to use it on somebody, but that's an interesting move too. Is it going to be okay? Show us you can, you know, show us what in a year that, you know, you can keep growing up or whatever. Or is it just just to lock it in and then they're going to make a long-term deal happen?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, the Cowboys have already made another move on the running back front with Javonte Williams over the weekend. So, you know, he was among the group, not near the top of the group, but among the group that we talked about of running backs that could potentially be out there and available. You know, he signed, I believe, a $16 million guaranteed deal over 3 years with Javonte Williams, total deal worth $24 million. So not a very expensive contract there on that front. But it is interesting, Joe, from the standpoint of, like, we talked with Charles a couple weeks ago about, you know, some of these running backs that could be out there, whether it's Breece Hall, you know, what ends up happening with Kenneth Walker in Seattle. And one of the teams that people have mentioned on the running back front this offseason is Dallas. Like, could they want to upgrade? Could they want to go get one of these big-name guys? Now, I mean, I guess it's still possible they could do that, but when you've signed Javonte Williams to, you know, a three-year, $24 million deal, there's at least a suggestion there that maybe that's one team you won't have to worry about in the free agent market when it comes to the running back position.
Yeah, you would think so. You would think that they'd be probably – I mean, I guess you never know with the Cowboys.
They could load up at running back. Who knows?
Yeah, Jerry, you know, it's like we're going back to, you know, we're going to bring the wishbone into the NFL. I mean, who knows with Jerry, but yeah, you would think they'd probably be out of the mix. Did you see the replay officials throwing flags idea?
I did. Yes. What do you think of that?
I don't know, man. I don't know. So essentially, that when they're reviewing something, they can, if they see a penalty that's not part of the review, they can decide to throw the. I mean, the only thing, I guess, like, if there's some kind of, I mean, it's almost like, although I'm sick of it now, in college basketball, they just find a way to have a million reviews. One way or another, you know, they do the challenge thing, but now they have the appeal thing. It's just ridiculous. But I guess, like, if you see something that's, like, dirty or something,
yeah,
then okay, I guess. You know, like, the officials missed it, and it's like, there's a punch. There's an example given in the I think there's an AP story of or there's an ESPN story of, like, Diggs and Josh Jobe on the sideline, and then Jobe punched Diggs' helmet and nobody saw it. So, you know, like, it would have been like you could have possibly ejected him. Okay, I guess if, like, there's something really egregious, I'm okay with it. But, like, the, you know, you're looking for a whatever. I mean, you're looking to see if, like, if a quarterback, one of the you know, fumble or incomplete plays or something, and it's like, oh, look, there's a hold on the right guard. I mean, that would be absurd.
Yeah, I don't have any interest in that. Like, I don't mind. There are plenty of examples of kind of what you just talked about of the punch thing. Like, there are plenty of examples in the NFL where somebody throws a punch and somebody else retaliates to it, and the only person that gets a flag thrown on is the person who retaliates. Like, I guess I have no problem with somebody taking a look at that and, you know, you throwing a flag on both guys there in that situation. But I have no interest whatsoever in, like, you going to look at a spot, you know, to see whether or not somebody got a first down, and then you're looking at it and you're like, oh, yeah, there's, like, six holding penalties on this play, and then there's also the guy was offside and they missed it there. Like, I don't want more replay in the NFL. I think we're at the perfect spot of replay right now. I don't need the, you know, 17 replays a game throwing penalties from the sideline. Because, Joe, as you know, like, they miss a lot of penalties out there. I don't need every play being looked at for penalties.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, the whole, there's a holding on every, you can call holding anybody. There's some truth to that. You know, if you really dug in and had a perfect angle on every blocking situation or you know, downfield too. People getting handsy, is that holding or not? Yeah, no, it better be really limited to something that's like, oh, geez, we missed this dude punching a guy. Okay, here it is clearly in the film. Fine. Yeah.
My first kind of response, like, reaction to this, if this comes into play, Joe, like, you remember the pass interference stuff when they used to be able to review pass interference?
Yeah.
And then ultimately, every time they went to go review it, they never did anything about it. Like,
right.
it had to be super egregious. I kind of feel like that's the way that this would go. At least I hope so.
Yes. Yeah. I think that's, You know, I mean, obviously, when they did that, I was like, you know, I'd like to have an outlet, because it was obviously a reaction to the Rams-Saints game.
And yes.
Just, I mean, you know, the wrong team went to the Super Bowl because of an unbelievable missed call. I mean, that's what happened. But, yeah, then they basically made sure it died. I still, you know, it's like I don't hate the idea of, like, something, again, think about the NBA, like, one challenge a game or something like that of a, and I know now we're talking about more stuff, but just in case you have something that could, like, alter the course of history with an unbelievably bad call, but it died. So, you know, I mean, we haven't had a situation like that since, like that egregious. So I suppose you could also say, well, that's a generationally bad call.
It certainly was. Boy, was that something. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. It is NFL Combine Week. What does this mean for the Titans? What actually matters when it comes to the Titans this week at the NFL Combine? We'll get into that. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game, live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. It is one of Joe Rexroad's favorite weeks of the year. The NFL Combine is almost upon us. Joe, there's going to be a lot of stuff this week. There's going to be a lot of hand-sized talk, arm-sized talk. How fast does such and such run? You know, what sort of throws can such and such make here against air at the NFL Combine? We've seen it all before when it comes to the NFL Combine. Obviously, the Titans, a very prominent draft selection coming up at number 4 overall. So if you're Mike Borgonzi, if you're Robert Saleh and this new staff, and you're sorting through all this stuff and you're looking at some of the names we've talked about that are going to be available high in the draft, and you're looking down to see how many, you know, your third round, fourth round, fifth round picks, maybe you could find some diamonds in the rough like you did a year ago. What actually matters the most this week to the Titans, in your opinion, Joe Rexro, when it comes to what you're actually evaluating?
Well, for them, obviously the interviews are huge. With, and I imagine they're going to do interviews with, you know, the edge guys or the receivers. It'll be interesting, you know, to see how much they, what else they, you know, get into. But those will obviously be important. They always are for teams. And then there's also some of the other stuff outside of the interviews, like, obviously, Reuben Bain, you know, arm length and all that stuff, but other things that he does, because obviously, I mean, look, you watch a guy play, and he's a monster on the field. I guess, like, do some of his other measurables, are they exceptional? You know, does that sort of, again, to me, it's like the arm length thing is just it's a difference between college football and pro football. You get to the highest level and you just, you know, maybe you go from like more like 6'4", 6'5", tackles to 6'6", 6'7", tackles and things like that. You know, it's kind of crazy to me. Like, there are guys who are very, just a little bit longer arms than him, have had great NFL careers. So, but the reality is, the history says that he, you know, that arm length has never, you know, had a double-digit sack year. I mean, is he the guy that blows that up? It'd be great to see, but that's going to be a huge thing. You know, how the receivers run, whoever runs, who runs and how they run. You know, what you often see now is the first-round guys don't. Do any of them run? To me, when someone's willing to do it, I love that. I think some teams do too. It's like, oh, someone who actually wants to compete, because that's what this is all about, right? It's competing, and not being afraid that you're gonna have a bad time and hurt yourself. Get out there and show us, you know, you're one of the best athletes in the world. Let's see it. So who does that? I'm also interested. I've heard that Ty Simpson is gonna throw. That is a potentially big thing for the Titans, because if he could, you know, I think he's the guy. I don't think there's anybody else realistically, at least at this point. You know, we'll see. But if Ty Simpson can wow people, certainly the medical aspect is big, the back, but wow people, throw great, do all that stuff, he's going to be awesome in the interviews. You know, if somebody falls in love with him, now maybe you have an option if you're the Titans of actually moving back.
I feel like his the back thing with Ty Simpson, nobody knows about it. I think it's you who have uncovered something here that the rest of the NFL public needs to catch on, because nobody else seems to understand that that's what was happening with him in the second half of the year.
I did break that story, actually.
You did.
No one wants to give me credit. Where's my credit for this? You know, Thamel never retweeted and gave me.
Did you know Joe writes for The Athletic?
Thank you. But yeah,
it's disrespect is what it is.
Exactly, right? Seriously, but in all seriousness, I mean, there was people knew he had a back. It was reported, but I will say when his dad told me he was getting epidurals before every game, I was like, geez, man. Because first of all, I got a kid who's getting epidurals right now, and he's going to have surgery. And so, yeah. A microdiscectomy. And so, that's...
Sciatica.
Yeah, that's exactly what's going on, which is ironic. But, so when I heard that, I'm like, oh, geez, this is not good. They say that doesn't necessarily mean it's not good. It doesn't necessarily mean it's that serious. It's that severe. I mean, they're going to get down to the bottom of it, obviously, these NFL teams. If what they're saying is true, that it's, that it's not a big deal, then that helps them a lot. But, I mean, you just hear epidurals, and you're like, man, that's serious. And, look at the way he played. Look at the way he was playing this year or last season before he got hurt. Yeah, pretty big difference. I mean, I thought he looked better, in the first playoff game, right, after some rest. But certainly you can see how it affected him.
I'll tell you one thing on the Titans standpoint where the evaluation part of this, you need to be able to come through and find somebody, probably multiple somebodies, but at least one. Third round, fourth round, it'd be great, Joe, if they could find a couple of corners in the draft this year that maybe aren't all that highly regarded heading into the draft that turn out to be good players for you. I don't know, Jarvis Brownlee. It'd be nice to find some guys like that this year because of how desperate that need is. And I fully anticipate and hope that the Titans are considering either an edge rusher or a wide receiver at that number four overall spot. I just think the edge rushers that are going to be there, it's going to be pretty hard not to take one of those guys. We'll see, what ends up happening at wide receiver. They obviously need one of those, but they definitely need corners too. So if you were able to find a pretty good corner that could actually play for you in the fourth round, the evaluation of the corners throughout the combine process and as they get deeper and deeper into the draft process, if you could hit on, you're going to have to hit on, regardless of what position it is, with how much this team needs, you're going to have to hit on some picks in the third and fourth round this year that could come in and actually play for you and play well.
Yeah, no, that's true. No doubt. And obviously you're going to assign somebody and, you're going to, once the draft actually comes, you'll have a better picture of what you need to do. But, depending on how things go, you could make the case that they need to draft a couple. Obviously there's going to be undrafted guys and stuff like that, but no doubt about it that position is going to be critical for them to find some people because, they had some young corners, and they don't have those young corners anymore. They still have some, but they don't have the guys that we knew could play.
Yeah, I'm just you could make the argument when you're talking about positions of need. You could legitimately make an argument, I think, Joe, for edge rusher, wide receiver, cornerback, could all be number one. I think they could. Now, corner, right now you literally don't have anybody. But like you said, free agency will come and go before then. I would assume that they're signing at least one corner, at least. I would hope they're signing two, maybe not two high-dollar ones, but you need to go sign a couple of those guys. But just in terms purely right now, sitting here looking at the roster of position and need, if you're drafting an edge rusher, that's one more pick higher in the draft, Joe, that you can't use on a corner. If you're drafting a corner, that's one more pick higher in the draft that you can't use on edge rusher or wide receiver. Like they got a huge need on all three of those positions right there that they got to find some way with limited picks to fill.
Yes, and if the offensive tackle thing I suggested is not going to happen, it's probably not. Do they need to go there in the draft at some point? You could make a case. I mean, that's the thing too. It's like you can certainly make the case that they need more depth across the line. What's up with like Cushenberry? You know, like where are they there? Like, are they going to need to, go interior lineman too?
Yeah.
I mean, that's center and right guard. You know, right now basically left tackle, left guard, right tackle are locked in. Center and right guard, still some questions there, and possibly, and they have, they got young guys here in the building too who could rise up, but. I mean, at some point, you would think there'd be some kind of an offensive line pick.
Dave in Big Rock says, the problem is that without a top-tier wide receiver, then the Cam Ward situation stays muddy through the middle of the season, and that's what's most important. Maybe. I mean, we'll see. Like, I don't know that you necessarily have to find your number one guy this offseason, but there's no doubt, like, the receiving room has to get better. Like, if the receiving room is what it was last year. And look, full credit to like DK and Io Manor, they were fine as rookie players. But, particularly when Ridley went down, I mean, you looked at the wide receiver room, Joe, and you're like, good Lord, who's going to make plays for the quarterback out here? They just didn't really have many of those guys. And DK made a few toward the end of the year, and, Van Jefferson had a couple of nice games for what he was. But there's no doubt you got to upgrade wide receiver to get a better look at what Cam Ward is. I don't know that you necessarily have to find your number one guy this offseason. It would be great if you did, but there's no doubt you got to upgrade it to help out your quarterback and get a better picture of what he is moving forward.
Yeah. And so, people making the case that, keeping Ridley makes more sense. And I'm not opposed to that. Like if you're out there looking for someone talent wise, who's probably right in that range or even less in some cases with some of these guys, it's like, well, there is at least some chemistry built there. Like what would be the issue with keeping them around? You'd rather be better, of course, but maybe that is part of the answer. And some of it is just, it's just like, if the Titans are sitting there and it's like, look, we know, like, whatever, they love two of the three or all three of the edge guys, well, then they know that they're going to have their choice of two of them, certainly one of them, but almost certainly two of them, right?
Yeah.
And if you know that and that you're probably not going to have anybody trying to move up into that spot, then that's kind of how you have to approach free agency at receiver. But also maybe that does make it more likely that Ridley's here.
615-737-1025, our phone number. More of your thoughts on the NFL draft coming up next. Plus, a former Titan is back in the game, baby. We'll get into that. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game.
It's definitely at wide receiver. I have 18 receivers in my top 100, 11 in the top 50. We could see six go in the first round. And that is really headlined by three players. Mekhi Lemon from USC is a fantastic yards after catch player, very tough over the middle of the field. He's going to give you shades of, Jackson Smith and Jigba. Amon-Ra St. Brown, a former USC Trojan. He is fantastic, my top receiver in the class. We'll see where he runs, what that time actually looks like for him. And then Carnell Tate, I know, another first-round wide receiver from Ohio State. This is what they do so well in Columbus. Tate is fantastic as a route runner at 6'3", 195 pounds. He wins over the top. He's precise. He's just a professional wide receiver who played college football last year and probably would have been even more highlighted had he not been with Jeremiah Smith, the player we'll be talking about a lot over the next 13 or 14 months as a top prospect coming out of Ohio State for next year.
That's Matt Miller from ESPN taking a look at the wide receivers in the draft. Taking your thoughts at 615-737-1025. Joe, I guess the thing that stands out to me in that clip, beyond his love for Mekhi Lemon as well, which we know you love Mekhi Lemon, looks like the receiving part of this could be, decently deep. Maybe not Cardale Tate or somebody of that quality hanging around in the second round. But it sounds like, I think you said 11 of the top 50. It sounds like you could find some pretty good receivers in this draft here.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's a kind of consistent thing. I mean, obviously, you know, better some years at the very top than other years, but just I mean, this is part of football now for sure is guys who at a certain age, it's like, well, you're better off running backs. And obviously some people, you know, physically, you know, you're 5'8", 195, and you're built like a tank, like Kenneth Walker, you're not going to be anything but a running back. But there are players who could, you know, Mekhi Lemon is a guy who, you know, bulk up a little bit, could probably be a heck of a running back. You know, more and more top athletes are going receiver or even corner over running back because of the market for running backs and the reality of, you know, the only position in the NFL that is not enjoying massive inflation. So, like the receivers, and also then with the offenses in college and the NFL really matching up more in a lot of cases, you have like a lot more instant impact. So you're going to have most years, it's going to be a good receiver class. And so, if you're the Titans this year, we're going to talk about those top guys, but there's very good players after that if you go somewhere else in the first round.
So, Joe, we have a former Titan that is back in the NFL. The Miami Dolphins have hired former Titans general manager John Robinson as their new senior personnel executive. So he joins new general manager John Eric Sullivan down there in Miami. J-Rob is back in the game. What do you make of that? It's taken, you know, obviously a while for him to get back in the game. He's been enjoying a nice paycheck from Amy Adams Strunk to not work for the Tennessee Titans. What do you make of J-Rob joining the Dolphins as their senior personnel executive?
Yeah, good for him. It'll be obviously the big interesting thing here will be, you know, does this give him another chance at some point to be a GM? There aren't a lot of second chance GMs. Could J-Rob be one of them? It's interesting. I when I found out he was joining them, I was like, hey, John Eric Sullivan, is there like some, you know, Patriots scout background or anything with him? But no, I mean, he's all Packers.
Yeah.
Like from football operations assistant going back to the early 2000s before he even got to be a scout. So he's pure Packers. But I think it's I think it's a good move. Obviously, you're bringing someone in who hasn't technically been in the game. But I think John has been active still and has, you know, stayed on top of things and has been ready for this opportunity. And yeah, I think he deserves it. I mean, you know, Titans fans, I feel like the John Robinson thing is just like a forever debate. And I just think both things are true. Like he built excellent teams and had terrific early years. And then he had this at the end, the drafting in particular was just bad. And obviously the A.J. Brown trade. But again, the A.J. Brown trade, I mean, ultimately, like, he did it. It's on his record. You know, there's a lot to that. But it was a mistake. It was a critical mistake. And it's pretty obvious that Mike Vrabel did not want it to happen. And it happened. But I think you can still look at the whole tenure with the Titans. And, you know, I mean, ultimately, the record is what you go with, right? What was his win-loss record? It was, he was a winning GM who certainly had some big, big mistakes late that ended up costing him his job.
Yeah, I mean, look, we knew at some point he was going to get back in the game. I have no idea whether or not he's going to be a general manager in the league again. Like, you know, he was 66-48. As Titans general manager, which, you know, it's a good record, right? I think what you said is exactly right. There are two things that are true. He built a good team. He made some good decisions in terms of, like, you know, the Ryan Tannehill move, pretty good move from John Robinson. There's some different moves that you can point out. You know, Derrick Henry's on his record. Kevin Byers on his record. Like, he built the Titans into a contender in the AFC. And he also made some horrific draft picks toward the end of it, right? Like, I mean, Caleb Farley, you know, Isaiah Wilson, and Treylon Burks. You know, there were some bad draft picks at the end of it. And the A.J. Brown situation kind of highlighted it all. So, again, like, I think the two things being true thing is the perfect way to say it. Like, he was a good general manager for the majority of his time here. And at the end of it, he made some horrific decisions. And, you know, have the Titans been suffering from some of those decisions? Yes. Do I think that that's overplayed at times? Yeah. I mean, part of the Titans' downfall since then has also been they've just not been able to do anything right since then. And that's Carthon, that's Brian Callahan, that's Amy Adams Strunk, that's all of it. So I'm not surprised he's back in the league. You know, I mean, I guess this is going to depend on, you know, what sort of job does John Eric Sullivan and John Robinson and all these people involved with the Dolphins now, like, can they actually get them to a point where they're a contender? Because, again, we've talked about the Dolphins a lot this offseason. There's a lot of work there left to do, namely finding who's going to be your quarterback moving forward, and they're in salary cap purgatory at the moment, and they're moving on from Tyreek Hill and all this other stuff. So my guess is, Joe, if he is going to become a general manager again, it's probably going to take a little bit here because I don't think this Dolphins job is some quick fix. So we'll see what happens on that front, but good to see him back in the game.
Yeah, it's not a great situation, but that also means it's opportunity. It's sometimes not terrible to come into a place when it's a huge mess, which is what it was here, when John Robinson, you know, got the job and boom, they immediately made some moves that turned a team competitive, and that's the thing, and that's I think probably my biggest argument for people, you know, the J-Rob haters who look at the Titans now and want to still blame them. I mean, you can find so many examples in the NFL of like one good off season turning a joke of a team and even a joke of a franchise. Think of the Washington Commanders into like a winning team. That happens all the time. So that happened here with him. The Titans struggle since then. Sure, like those empty drafts obviously hurt you, but like no, they were not destined to continue to stink to this extent. No. In this league, it's not designed for that to be the case. You have to be pretty incompetent and in a variety of spots for that to keep happening, and none of that has anything to do with him. So. A lot of missteps since he left. And, yeah, if he's going to be a GM again, there is opportunity for them to turn things around. It's a bad situation, but it's probably going to have to be like a – and it's going to be so quarterback-driven, but it's probably going to have to be like – they're going to have to become like a legit, if not contender, at least like playoff team. And if that's the case, then people start looking at other people around John Eric Sullivan and saying, wow, they must have some pretty smart people in there.
Going to go head-to-head with Vrabel in the AFC East.
Yes.
The AFC East is where former Titans land now.
That's right. That is interesting.
Yeah, it will be. 615-737-1025. A one texter says, J-Rob's first job at the Dolphins will be getting rid of Tyreek Hill because of his receiver one Axeman experience. They've already got rid of him, so he doesn't have to worry about it.
Yeah. Yeah, they've already done that. By the way, Nick Sirianni, opening the door on AJ being somewhere else here at the combine. So keep an eye on that one.
That was interesting. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. More of your thoughts on the NFL draft, the NFL combine. Plus, is Nashville about to get the World Cup games after all? Is this going to happen? We'll get into that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Today, Vanderbilt baseball hosts Evansville at Hawkins Field at 4:30. Catch all the action on 94.9 The Fan and the Game Nashville app. Coverage presented by Gary Force Acura. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. We'll have Pete Weber coming up at 7:15. We'll get his thoughts on Team USA winning the gold medal. Get his thoughts on the Predators as they're coming out of the break later this week, taking on Chicago on Thursday. Ben Arthur from Fox Sports NFL will be with us later in the program as well. Taking your thoughts in the meantime at 615-737-1025. Joe, obviously, over the last couple of days, there has been unrest in Mexico with the cartel leader being killed there and the violence that has ensued since then. And the World Cup is right around the corner. They have games scheduled in Mexico and specifically in Guadalajara and Jalisco. There has some playoff matches coming up, World Cup qualifying playoff events that are coming up in March. And there's also some World Cup games itself scheduled to be held there in June. And with all the stuff going on in Mexico over the last couple of days, some worry about what that's going to mean for the World Cup. And could World Cup games eventually be moved from Mexico if the situation has not stabilized itself by then? Now, I'm reading from The Athletic here, and they came out with this, I believe, early this morning is when it's been updated. It says, by Monday evening, Mexican authorities had begun to restore order. Late Monday night, FIFA rallied behind its Mexican partners. A spokesperson claimed it would be inaccurate and misleading to suggest there are significant concerns and insisted they had, quote, full confidence in three World Cup host countries, Mexico, Canada, and the United States. Joe, that was a big talking point yesterday of, you know, if the situation in Mexico continued to devolve, could FIFA end up moving some of these World Cup games? And as we know, you know, Nashville at one point was under consideration for hosting some World Cup games in 2026 when the World Cup came to North America. So I don't think, Joe, that this situation yet has fully been resolved. Obviously, this is an ongoing thing that FIFA is going to have to keep an eye on here, but going to be interesting to see what happens here with the World Cup, with what's going on in Mexico right now. I know a very scary situation down there. I know that, you know, there have been some tourists that have kind of been caught up in the crossfire and everything going on down there. Just a wild situation.
Yeah, terrible. Yeah, Puerto Vallarta, I mean, you know, people are holed up in hotels, and it's just like a huge cartel war going on. I mean, so this is like sort of the obvious, and it's early speculation. And look, even if the situation develops and it gets to the point, because there's already people and other, I know like the German coach is like, I don't want to go play there, and you know, there's things like that going on. But even if it did happen and it got to the point where it's like, okay, well, you got to move it, or like there's more United States, does that necessarily mean that some of the finalist cities that didn't get bids would be tapped? I mean, it's, you know, all these cities that are having the World Cup, of course, have had all this time to ramp up for it, and you know, I don't even know if, like, I don't know if that would be the answer, or if they would just try to like do more in the cities that are already hosting. That I don't know. I haven't really seen like the breakdown, but your mind obviously goes to that, right? I'm sure. Nashville and other cities that just came up short. We do have a stadium that could work. So
we do have that.
So
there is a stadium here that would work. Yeah, I don't know. Like I don't know how they would handle that. I mean, obviously, I mean, at this point, if you're FIFA, you have to like at least start to put a contingency together, right? Like, it doesn't mean that you necessarily have to move it, but I think what we have seen over the last couple of days is the conversation around this is, there's the beginning stages of having sort of that contingency plan, I think, are definitely coming into effect. Like, if you're going to do it, Joe, like, you got to be willing to move pretty quickly, because you're talking about just a few months before the World Cup is here.
Yeah, you're done June 11th through 26th. This stadium near Guadalajara is one of the places. And that's the thing. The problem is, and I'm reading a quote from this scholar, Nathan Jones. He studies the cartels. He said, quote, you know, you're looking at potential fragmentation of organized crime and destabilization of organized crime structures throughout a large swath of Mexican territory right before the World Cup. Makes it almost impossible to predict how this is going to play out, end quote.
Yeah.
And if it's unstable, it just seems like, man, it's going to be really interesting. We're here at the end of February, and you just don't know where this is going to go. I mean, you're talking about massive amounts of resources here for the cartels, and, you know, like it could get really bad. And at what point, if it's unstable, do you have to make some kind of call? I mean, what FIFA is saying right now is no surprise. You're going to try to calm it down and and say all the right things and everything. But, man, it's dicey for sure. It's a terrible situation. So, you know, in the next few weeks, you either it calms down and you know, everybody goes business as usual, or I think you really have to start talking about contingencies. And then again, I don't know, like, if and I don't remember, I don't know if you remember, like, some of the other cities that just came up short. You know, I don't know if it's even feasible to try to, like, throw some games at some of these other cities.
Yeah, and again, like, in the short amount of time, right? Like, it's, you know, I think Cincinnati also got snubbed there, so they are being left out. Seattle apparently not chosen. So, like, there's all sorts of cities, obviously, around the United States that wanted to bring this here that didn't work out. So, like, again, I still think the actual odds of it coming to Nashville would be pretty low. But, like, I don't know. Like, if you have to move from where you originally are, like, how much of a strain is it on the sites where you're already going to then add more games and more teams to those sites? I don't know. Like, you might have to go to other places that you didn't originally plan on going to if you're FIFA in the World Cup.
Yeah, you would think so. You would think that it would just be too much. And you know, when it comes down to it, you can get teams here. You can get teams here. You can get your broadcast crews here. Obviously, a big part of the World Cup is the fan. I mean, the fans from all over the world travel heavily for that, you know?
Yeah.
It's a big part of why everybody wants this thing. Yes, it's a great TV product, but also, like, it is – you bring a lot of people, you know, to your city. So, I mean, I would think that would be somewhat limited compared to what it usually is. But you could do it. You could have games.
Remember the Vuvuzela of the World Cup back in 2010?
Yes.
Just go get a bunch of Vuvuzelas around here. We'll make this thing work.
Four Vuvuzelas per person. I mean, I'm sure that, you know, they'll fill the whatever places they're playing in. You know.
Oh yeah.
They'll fill them. It's just a matter of, you know, is it like actually, like, locals can go for cheap? You know, relatively cheap compared to, like, what World Cup ticket prices sometimes are when teams are following their country around. I mean, this is a big, big deal worldwide.
Dude, Robbie and Rex Road, live from the pitch, baby. Let's get after it.
There we go. Let's break down some soccer.
Yep, we can do it. Yeah, we got Ian. Ian's the expert, man.
We do.
Yeah, I wouldn't go expert, but maybe we can call Frazier.
Yeah, that's true.
That is true.
Get Frazier in there.
When he's not, when he's not analyzing rugby.
Well, I mean, Frazier's probably got some cousin that's playing in the game. Like, he had apparently Frazier had a third cousin on the Italian hockey team.
Yeah.
In the Olympics.
Yeah, he's got to have somebody on the Italian soccer team, right?
You would think so. 615-737-1025. Our phone number, 615-737-1025. But we'll get back into more reaction from Team USA's win against Team Canada in the gold medal game coming up next. Pete Weber will be with us at 7:15. All that ahead, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.